I've got 5 points for you today, so we're going to be here for a while. No, I'm just kidding. Get out of here on time, but we're in this series called Hearing God. Everybody say Hearing God.
Hearing God.
All right, and we have been talking about the 7 love languages of God. If you're just coming in on the 7th message, that's okay, because every one of these have been standalone messages. We've talked about how God speaks to us through Scripture, how God speaks to us through our desires that He places within our hearts, how God speaks through doors, open doors and closed doors, how God speaks to us through dreams, which is all through the Bible in the Old Testament and the New Testament, how God speaks to us through His people. Last week we talked about how God speaks to us through promptings, and then this week we're going to be talking about how God speaks to us through our pain. I want to tell you something about last week, something that happened here after service. And I'm going to tell you how the teaching and the preaching of God's Word is very important. The Word is powerful. Has nothing to do with me. It has to do with His Word. His Word is powerful. The Bible says that His Word can take down arguments that the enemy has put in our minds. He can do all that. The Word is powerful. But I had somebody come up to me after service, and they said, "I am so thankful I was here today." And they told me, they said, because this week I heard something at my house. And don't tell me the enemy don't speak to people. He does too. And he can masquerade around like an angel of light, the Bible says. But this person told me all the family left. You know, the best lights at Christmas are tail lights. That's when everybody's going home. Everybody's going home. And that's basically what this person was telling me. And he said, "I was sitting at my kitchen table, and I was just sipping coffee," and he goes, "and I was really just thanking Lord that, man, this was, you know, great Christmas with my family and everything." And then he said, "I heard something," and he goes, "and I don't know if it was audible, but I heard it in here loud and clear, and this is what it said: this is your last Christmas." And I told him, I said, "That's from the pit of hell. That's not God. That is not God." And he knew it after hearing the message. Not my message, not anything that I said, but through the Word of God, the teaching of the Word of God, he knew that was not from God. But he just wanted to share that with me. And I shared with him, "Take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ." And that's what he did. And actually, take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ, when you look that up in the Greek, I know you're probably not going to do that, so I did it for you, is that actually means that you take a thought and you hold a spear to it until it goes away, until you kill it. A thought that's not of God. And so that's basically what he did right in here during the message. He's like, he knew that thought was. So, man, guys, God is good. And I was glad that person was here at church on that Sunday about promptings. And so if you can also go back online and go to hfchurch.com, and I thank Travis for doing that, because you can listen to all these messages online at hfchurch.com, the podcast, or go to churchesaid.com, and you can actually watch the whole service by video. All right, today we're going to talk about pain, how God speaks to us through pain. So I want you to turn to 2 passages of Scripture, Genesis chapter 3 and James chapter 2. We're going to start in Genesis chapter 3, James chapter 2. If you know me, we're going to look at a lot of Scripture, several Scripture. I even have to cut some down because I know we can't, you know, we can only grasp so much, but I'm going to give you several Scriptures to look at. I've got all the points on PowerPoint, got all the Scriptures on PowerPoint. So you can take notes, write down the Scriptures, or if you just want to sit and listen and go back to our podcast later, I encourage you to do that as well. But turn to Genesis chapter 3 and James chapter 2 if you have your Bibles or your smartphones, however you get there. And when I think of the word pain, how we all want to live our lives is like this: maximize pleasure and minimize pain. Amen? That's the way I want to live my life. And you know, we've all heard the phrase, no pain, no gain. Y'all heard that? Sarah's like, "Yeah, I've heard that. No pain, no gain." We've all heard that. If you've been in sports, you've heard that. No pain, no gain. If you watched Rocky IV Balboa, Rocky Balboa, no pain, no pain, no pain. And Rocky's like, "Yeah, there's pain." But, you know, I want to start a new one today. It's no pain, no pain. No pain, no pain. But I wish we could start that and leave here today, and I could tell you and look you straight in the eye and say there's never going to be any more pain in your life, and that's a lie, because we live in a fallen world. And so that starts me off in this introductory remarks about this message that I want to ask you and make sure, and I'm going to answer the question for you, because I want to make sure when you leave here today that you know where pain comes from. Where does pain come from? And I'm going to tell you where it comes from, where it doesn't come from. It doesn't come from God. Amen. It does not. Pain does not come from God. He does not inflict pain on his children. That would be child abuse. God is not into abusing his children. God does not put cancer on anybody. God does not put sickness. God doesn't cause death to happen in people's families. Amen. And where pain comes from is from the fall of man. Look at somebody and say, pain comes from the fall. Pain comes from the fall. You know, we're going to look at Genesis chapter 3, so if you want to turn there real quick. But that phrase, no pain, no gain, I'm going to tell you, it didn't come from Jane Fonda in the 1980s, and it didn't come from Rocky Balboa. I'm going to tell you where that phrase came from. It was a second century Jewish rabbi that he said, according to the pain is the gain. And you can actually gain when you go through pain if you know how to respond. And that's what we're going to look at today. But in Genesis chapter 3, I want to show you this so you can see where pain came from. In Genesis 3, verses 16 through 17, this is after the fall. This is after they have partaken of the forbidden fruit. And it says, to the woman, he said, I will surely multiply your pain in childbearing. So Taya, you can thank Eve for this. You can thank the fall. In pain, you shall bring forth children. Your desire shall be contrary to your husband, but he shall rule over you. So it means there's going to be pain in the household too. Everybody needs some marriage counseling. And it says, in verse 17, it says, and to Adam, he said, because you have listened to the voice of your wife. That's the only place in Scripture where I've seen you can't listen to your wife, guys. And have eaten of the tree of which I commanded you, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground because of you. In pain you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Now, I want you to realize God didn't cause pain. Pain is a part of the curse. Pain is a part of the curse back in Genesis chapter 3. But that does not mean that God can't redeem it, recycle it, and speak through it. Because God is a good God, and he's a good God all the time. All right, I love this quote by C.S. Lewis, and I know that's in blue up there, so I'll translate that for you. This is from C.S. Lewis in his book called The Problem of Pain. He wrote this book called The Problem of Pain, and he says this, pain insists upon being attended to. God whispers to us in our pleasures, speaks in our conscience, but shouts in our pain. It is his megaphone to rouse a deaf world. Now, I was studying this about C.S. Lewis, and if you don't know his story, he went through a lot of pain in his life, and he wrote this book, The Problem of Pain. And somebody had read that quote, says, you know, you've probably heard this quote before because it's quoted quite a bit. God whispers to us in our pleasures, speaks in our conscience, but shouts in our pain. If God is shouting in your pain, shout back. Amen? That's how you're going to talk to God. Shout back to him. Now, I'm going to give you a couple scriptures of hope this morning. And before we get into the 5 points that I have today, this is John 16, verse 33. This is Jesus speaking. He says, I have told you all this so that you may have peace in me. Here on earth you will have many trials and sorrows, or could we say pain? But Jesus says, but take heart, because I have overcome the world. That's a great scripture that you need when you're going through pain. Here's another great scripture when you're going through pain. Because we need to realize God can redeem it, God can recycle it, God can use it for our benefit. He can bless us even with the pain that we're going through. And this scripture, one of the first Bibles that I was ever given was from my grandma Myrtle Wilson, who has since went home to be with the Lord many years ago, back in the late 80s is when she went home to be with the Lord. And she gave me this little Bible, New Living Translation, so I could actually read it, I think, because it's a good reading version of the Bible. But in there, she wrote me a little note, and it was Romans 8:28. And this scripture has carried me through a lot of pain in my life. Romans 8:28, and we know that God causes everything to work together for the good, even our pain, of those who love God and are called according to His purpose for them. Thank God for grandmas. Amen, Hunter? Thank God for grandmas. Now, here's my main scripture text for today, and we're going to kind of break this down, and I'm going to show you. James is, if you want to know how to live the Christian life, read the book of James. James is the how-to of Christianity. In James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4, he says, "Count it all joy, my brothers and sisters, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness." One translation says perseverance or patience. Verse 4 says, and let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. I mean, that's a mouthful right there, just in those few, the two, three scriptures that are read out of James chapter 1. So, everybody taking notes this morning? If you're not, you can go back and get this podcast, but I'm going to give you five realities of pain from the book of James, what pain actually does in our life and how God speaks through it. Five realities of pain from James. Number one, through pain, God speaks to the source of our joy. I'm going to say that again, and I'm going to explain all this to you. Through pain, God speaks to the source of our joy. This is James 1, verse 2, where he says, "Count it all joy." How many of you ever do that when you're going through stuff? No. James says we need to, and he's telling his brothers and sisters, he's telling us, you need to count it all joy when you meet trials of various kinds. That's trials, it's testings, it's tribulations, that's pain. When you're going through pain, he says count it all joy. And here's the reason why. Pain shows you. Remember, pain doesn't come from God. Pain's because we live in a fallen world. Pain will show you where your source of joy is coming from. It'll show you who your source of joy is. A lot of people, if you're going through financial difficulty, you'll realize that joy does not come from money. Hello? It doesn't come from money. Joy doesn't. If you don't believe me, go read every story on people that win the lottery. I'm telling you, that most of them, a high percentage of them, it wrecks their lives because they didn't have the character to hold that. God's all about building your character. Does God want us blessed? Yes, He does. Does God want us financially blessed? Yes. He just doesn't want money to have the throne. So pain in that area, I'm just giving you one little area. Some people say, well, if my circumstances will change, if my situations will change, or if I had a spouse, or if I had a boyfriend, or if I had a girlfriend, if I had more friends. No, the source of your joy needs to be your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything else is empty. Everything else is not going to give you that. So your pain shows you the source of your joy. I'm going to show you somebody in Scripture that this happened to. And this is Job 6, verse 10. It says, Job is saying, at least I can take comfort in this. This guy's going through hell on earth. I'm talking a lot of pain. Job is actually the oldest book in the Bible. It's even older than Genesis, if you didn't know that. There's your little side note. You can win Bible trivia at the next home game that you have. Despite the pain, he says, I have not denied the words of the Holy One. I want you to think about Job, if you know his story. This man lost his family, he lost his health, and he lost his wealth, and he can still say that. He says, at least I can take comfort in this. Despite the pain, I have not denied the words of the Holy One. And even his wife told him to curse God and die. There's another instance of not listening to your wife. There's only two in Scripture that I know of, guys. Two Scriptures you can take home. But when I look this up, and I'm giving it to you in the New Living Translation, because I always try to put translations up here that we can understand in redneck English, because I just want, instead of speaking in Elizabethan English, you know, I want to put it up there so we can understand it. But that word comfort in that scripture is translated in a lot of translations as joy. At least I can take comfort, or I can take joy in this despite the pain. I have not denied the words of the Holy One. In Hebrew, because that's what the Old Testament was written in, that word joy or that word comfort that's translated in the New Living Translation only appears one time in Scripture, and it's right there in Job 6, verse 10. And I want to define what that in Hebrew, what it means. That word joy in Hebrew that only appears one time in Scripture, right there in Job 6:10, it means to leap like a horse so stones spark. I thought that was really interesting. To leap like a horse so stones spark. And here's what I want to get you a mental picture of. It's not just jumping for joy, it's dancing on disappointment. Job, you talk about disappointment, and he's dancing on disappointment. He says, I've lost my family, I've lost my health, I've lost my wealth, my friends are cray-cray, because they don't know what they're saying to me. By the way, you know, we all need friends when we go through pain. We need each other, and that's one of the points here in just a second. But we don't need friends to try to tell us. Thank you, Lord. I don't know what. Well, they were totally full a while ago. No, they're still good. I don't know what that is. How about I get another mic? Is this on? Yeah. All right, I'll use this one. Don't worry about it. Turn it off. In fact, I'll turn it off so it doesn't do anything. What did I just say last? Huh? Friends. Yeah, friends. And then God cut us off. That's what you need to do with friends, cut them off. Job did. I mean, don't listen to your friends. We need friends when we're going through pain, but don't try to have all the answers. Just be there. The gift of your presence is more. You know, I shared in our book, Hush, Hug, and Hurt. Hush, shut your mouth, shut up. May the spirit of shut up come upon you. Hush, hug, hug. Everybody wants a hug when you're going through pain. And hurt with them. Hurt with them. And I share in our book, a story of a friend of mine that Jade and I went to visit. This has been years ago. His mother was killed in a tragic accident, and we showed up doing that, not as pastors. He didn't go to our church or anything like that. We showed up as friends, somebody that we knew, and we showed up, and we hushed, we hugged, and we hurt. That's what we did. And while we were there, a person came in from his church and said this, because people think that she brought a 9x13 casserole, okay? She should have just done that and left. But she felt like she had to say something. And her words were this, and I wanted to slap her in the name of Jesus, but we can't do that in the name of Jesus. But she said, well, at least your mother died tragically and quickly in a car accident and didn't suffer in a nursing home from cancer or something like that. And I was like, leave in the name of Jesus. And by the way, take your casserole. No, I didn't say that. But I wanted to. Because that is not a friend. That is, be quiet. Just hush, hug, and hurt. Be a good friend. Everybody said? Okay, that's what I was talking about there. Okay, and here's number two. We're going to get back to Job here in just a second. Number two, through pain. You can't talk about pain without talking about Job. Through pain, God speaks to us of our need for one another. We need each other. Now, we don't need friends like that, but we need friends that are going to hush, hug, and hurt and be there with us. And this is James 1:2. He says, count it all joy, my brothers, plural. You can also put sisters in there as well, when you meet trials of various kinds. And I'm going to tell you something. Just from my own life, I'm 49 years old. I'm going to be turning 50 this year, so this is the year of Jubilee, is what I'm declaring. And I'm 49, and when I go through pain, I call my parents. And I'm 49, and I still call my mom and dad. There's a story, and I know I keep referring to the book, because the book is a lot of our story of pain that we went through. But when everybody was gone, our friends were gone, and I was at home alone by myself, and Jada was resting, and I was in there going, God, how are we going to get through this? And I was in the living room. The first person I called was my mom. And all I wanted to do was hear her voice. That's all I wanted to do was hear my mom's voice. Guys, we need each other. Through pain, God speaks to us of our need for one another. I've been in pastoral ministry, a pastor now for 18 years, and I've been in pastoral ministry for 25 years, and what I've found out that drives people to church is pain. When something's going wrong in their lives or in their family, what drives them to church is pain. It also drives them away from church if they're listening to the enemy. Pain also drives you to the Father. Thank God you want to crawl up in Daddy's lap. That's why God does not inflict pain on his children. You know, pain drives us to the Father. It'll also drive you away if you're listening to the voice of the enemy. Pain, but what I've noticed about pain shows us our need for others. And I want you to look at somebody next to you and say, we need each other. Pain, and I'm going to get this into your body. How many of you ever done a DIY project? Then you realize, I don't need a DIY. I need several DIYs. I need some other people around me. You know, I'm like, Jade, I'll fix it. I got a hammer out in the garage. And Jade's like, you need to call somebody. Because she knows I'm not very handy. But you know what? I had to put up a fence the other day because we got Theo at the house. And I have found out that steel posts and baling wire go a long way for a wood fence. But eventually I'm going to have to repair that wood fence. But the reason why I'm sharing this about pain in the body, there was one time I remember going out into our garage, and I was doing something with a piece of angle iron. It actually came off an old cast iron bed, and I'd picked it up. Them things are heavy, and I was walking, and I don't know what happened, but I accidentally dropped it, and it hit my big toe, my left big toe. And with the angle iron down on that toe, on the very base of my toenail, and I literally thought the way it felt, it was a pain that just went. Thank God I didn't cuss. I didn't cuss, guys. God's my witness. I did not cuss. But I was just like, I can't even describe this pain I'm feeling. And it was like, I think I cut my toe off. And so I take off my shoe and I look down, and I'm like, no, it didn't cut my toe off, but I can tell my toenail is severed at the base there, so it's fixing to come. It was bad. And if I could have sucked my toe, I would have, all the way to Mexico that day. But I was hopping around and doing stuff like, golly, you know. And here's the whole reason why I shared that. Okay, you might be saying, what is the point, Pastor Mark? When you have pain in your body, the whole body suffers. My whole body was screaming. This goes to the Word of God, and Paul in Corinthians, he says, when one member suffers, we all suffer. Don't suffer alone. We need each other. We need the body of Christ. You need to go to church. Thank God for church on TV. We use radio. We've got it, you know, on simulcast. We've got it on all that. Thank God for all those avenues. And thank God when you're sick, you can stay at home and watch Joel Osteen. I listen to Joel Osteen, all right? But Joel Osteen's not going to bring you a 9x13 casserole when you're sick or going through something. Amen? We need each other. I'm not saying that you can't listen to Joel. Don't take that. Well, Pastor Mark said we can't listen to Joel Osteen. No, I love Joel Osteen. I like listening to him. He preaches a message of hope that everybody needs to hear. And some people get on to him for that. And if Jesus was here, Jesus would be bringing hope to people. Amen. And you do not know how many thousands of people they're leading to the Lord in that ministry, because the message of hope, people need hope. So when one member suffers, we all suffer. But the point I'm getting, don't just stay at home and be a Lone Ranger Christian and watch Christian TV. You need to be in church too. When you're not sick, be in church. I don't have a church home. Well, find one. You may have to shop around a little bit, but find one where you fit in and where you feel like this is where God wants me to plant and use my gifts and my talents for him. And everybody said, amen. All right, and there's a scripture that goes with this. Hebrews 10, verse 25, it says, and let us not neglect our meeting together as some do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. So he's saying, don't neglect going to church and meeting together. All right, here's number three. Number three, through pain, God speaks to our hearts what we know in our heads. And this is James 1:3. It says, for you know, everybody say, for you know, that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. Pain, what I've learned about pain brings what I call experiential knowledge, meaning it's not just head knowledge, it's heart knowledge, because I've been through it. That's what pain does. And then you're able to minister through that to bring comfort and peace and joy to others. And this is Hebrews
We'll give you a couple of scriptures as illustrations. Hebrews 13:5 says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Okay? When you're reading the Bible, that scripture may mean nothing to you until you've been abandoned and betrayed by somebody. And in that scripture, you realize God is always with me. He never leaves me nor forsakes me. The scripture that Jada told me, she said, Mark, I want this scripture to be in our book because this scripture was a lifeline to us, and I have used it on several people, and even there was one week that I gave it to Hunter when her grandmother passed away, and then she texted me later that day and said, can I have that scripture reference again? Psalms 34, verse 18, the Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. When you're going through something that breaks your heart and you're crushed in spirit, and you feel like God's a miles away, you want to know that God's near to me. And that was a lifeline to us when our son went home to be with the Lord, the pain that we had with Jaden. So those are those two scriptures. I'll never forget this, the Hebrews 13:5. That scripture was given to me in a situation. This was a long time ago, early in my ministry, and I had a situation where I felt abandoned and betrayed, and I was hurt. I mean, I was just crushed, and I was like, God, you know, I don't think you can relate, God. You ever been there? I don't think you can relate with what I'm going through right now because I am crushed. I am hurt. I feel abandoned. I feel betrayed. And I went to a service. I went to church because I need to go to church even though I didn't feel like it. I went to church, and I was hearing actually the guy that I showed up here a few Sundays ago, Pastor Robert Morris, and it was actually at his church is where I went to church at. And he got up there, and he had a prophetic word. He says, I have a prophetic word for somebody here, and it may be for more than one. And there's a large crowd there. And then he said this. He goes, if you've ever been abandoned or betrayed, I want you to stand up. So I stood up, and there was two other guys there. I remember this. There was three of us that stood up, and this was the only word he shared. Because God knows when you're crying out to him and what you're telling him in prayer, because I was telling God, God, you don't know what I'm going through. And this was the only thing that Pastor Robert said. And it brought, I mean, talk about deliverance like that. He said, this is what the Lord says. Even I had a Judas. I was like, that's all I need to hear. I'm set free in Jesus' name. I'm sorry, Jesus, that I ever whined about that you don't know what I'm going through. And but that's the power of God's word, all right? And that number three is through pain, God speaks to our hearts what we know in our heads. And because I have went through those two experiences, I'm able to minister to people who feel like that now. So that's how you redeem your pain. If you've been through something like that, use it to minister to somebody else, to bring hope to somebody else. All right, here's number four. Is everybody getting something today? Okay, number four, through pain, God speaks to the need of our faith to grow. This is James 1:3. He says, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness or patience. I'm going to read one more scripture out of 1 Peter, verses 1, 6 through 7. It says, in this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, pain, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now, here's what I'm going to clarify these two passages of Scripture, James 1:3, 1 Peter 1, verses 6 through 7. This is point number four. Through pain, God speaks to the need for our faith to grow. God doesn't test your faith to see how real your faith is. He don't. God already knows your faith is real. He's not testing your faith. That pain comes and does its work. But what pain does, it's all about you. Everything that you're going through is about you and your relationship with the Lord. God's not causing it, but God's letting that pain redeem, recycle, bring purpose, all kinds of things in your life. But pain opens your eyes and your ears to the need for your faith to grow. I'll give you an example from my own life. I thought that I really trusted God until my son was gone. If you'd have told me before that, do you trust God? Yeah, I trust God. But that pain that I went through, God didn't cause it, but that pain that I went through revealed to me that my faith had some deficiencies. and that there was areas in my life where I lacked trust in God. That's pain having its perfect work in you. Is everybody getting something today? All right, here's number five. Number five, through pain, God speaks to his faithfulness. What I'm trying to tell you about pain, if you can see it through the eyes of God today instead of your eyes, we're running around going, no pain, no pain, no pain, no pain, no pain. But we're going to have pain because we live in a fallen world. And God doesn't see pain as you know, here's Mark, he's going through pain, I'm going to deliver him out of it. There's Mark going through pain, I'm going to deliver him out of it. God is, he's a good father. He's not going to, you know, he's not, there's not going to, any more is going to come on you that you cannot bear, but you're going to go through things in life. And what God is, pain, let me write this word down. Pain is multidimensional. And we always see it through eyes that are one dimension. I'm going through pain, God deliver me. I'm going through pain, God deliver me. God, I'm going through pain, God deliver me. Pain is multidimensional. And in verse 4, through pain, God speaks to his faithfulness. It says, and let steadfastness or perseverance or patience have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. I'm going to read that again out of the NIV. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. What's going on in pain is, you know, and we're all the time wanting delivered out of it, delivered. And I'm not saying that pain is from God, and I'm not saying pain, we're all just sitting around going, I'm in pain, yay, you know, doing all that kind of stuff. But what's happening in it is multidimensional. He is perfecting you, he is completing you, and he is maturing you. And what you need to do is to be patient and trust him. And everybody said? Okay. Do you think Job wanted to get out of his mess? His whole family gone. His livestock gone, his wealth gone, his health gone, his friends are crazy, okay? I mean, just he feels abandoned and betrayed, and he says, I'm not going to give up on God. I'm going to hold on to his word. That's my lifeline. Job is a story of God's faithfulness to a person that was in pain. And this is Job. If you don't know how Job ends, Job 42, verse 12, so the Lord blessed Job in the second half of his life even more than in the beginning. Job is a story of God's faithfulness. I need you to look at somebody and say, God is faithful, even in your pain. Amen. Now I want to end with this. Aren't you glad that Jesus was faithful, even through his pain? And I love this scripture, Hebrews 12, verse 2. It says, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, look at that, it just sounds like James, count it all joy, for the joy that was set before him, talking about the cross, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God today in victory. There was purpose to his pain. And there's purpose in your pain if you allow God. I'm not saying God caused it, but there's purpose in it, and it's multidimensional, that God's perfecting you and maturing you and completing you if you'll let it happen. And, and don't leave here today, well, Pastor Mark said God's not going to deliver me from my pain. He's going to deliver you, but he wants to deliver you complete. Amen. God knows your pain today. And here's what I want to tell you in your pain. I know a lot of you in here today, and I could call you out and say, I know you've been through this pain, you've been through that pain, you're going through this pain right now. But here's what I want you to do. This is faith. Faith doesn't deny reality, and faith doesn't deny pain. But I want you to quit living as if Jesus is still nailed on the cross, based on Hebrews 12:2. I want you to start living like Jesus is resurrected and seated at the right hand of the Father, and he knows everything that you're going through, and he's going to help you, and he's going to complete you, he's going to mature you, he's going to do all those things in you. Because he has went through, just like I had a Judas mark. He's had everything that you've gone through. The Bible tells us that. He's went through everything that we've ever went through. I even had that talk with God, with the Lord one time through my pain. I was like, God, you don't know what I'm going through right now. Through the loss of our son. And girl, that's the wrong thing to say to God, you know, when he gave up his only one son. But even Jesus, during that time, the Lord showed me in something in Scripture. It says, Mark, Jesus, my son, knows exactly what you're going through. And I said, how does he know? He said, even Jesus lost his earthly father, Joseph, when he was here. He had to go through that. He went through that pain. And there again, I was like, okay, God, forgive my whining. You know, he's been through every kind of pain that you've ever went through and that you'll ever go through. But don't quit living as if Jesus is still nailed on the cross. The only thing that's nailed to the cross is our sin. Don't ever give me a cross that has Jesus on it. I'll give it back because he's not there. He is seated at the right hand of the Father on the throne of God, making intercession for us, praying for us as we're going through this. And he says, be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. And everybody said, did everybody learn something today? Okay. I want everyone to bow your heads in here this morning. And I want to lead you in a prayer today. If you're here, or those that are watching by Church's Aid, or those that are going to be listening to this by radio, I always do this every time because I want to make sure that people know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And so it's very simple. The Bible tells us in Romans 10 that if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, then it says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So I want to lead you in this prayer today. Say, Lord Jesus, I need you in my life. I believe you are the Son of God, and you died on the cross for me, and you rose again on the third day. Please forgive me of my sins and create a clean heart in me. Renew my spirit so I can hear your voice. I accept you as my Savior. You are my Lord. Thank you for saving me. And everybody said, amen. I want everybody to stand up. Jade, I want you to come up here, babe. And I want to tell you, if you prayed that prayer and that's the first time you've ever prayed that, your very next step of obedience is following the Lord in water baptism, just like Hunter did today. And everybody say, congratulations, Hunter. Congratulations. I love it. All right, amen. All right, I want to speak a blessing over you today. Now, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious unto you, and may the Lord give you his peace. May the Lord bless your going out and your coming in today. May the Lord anoint you to fulfill the divine destiny that God has given to you. May everything that is brought against you be crushed by the protection that God himself shall provide. May you be blessed in your health. May you be blessed in your relationships. May your children and your children's children be blessed because they are the heritage of the righteous. From this day forward, as you submit yourselves to the Christ of the cross, may your lives be filled with joy that is unspeakable and full of glory and with peace that surpasses all understanding. May your home, as the Word of God says, be as the days of heaven on earth. In Jesus' name we pray and ask it. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Give somebody a hug and say, God bless you. And Jade and I are going to go back here at the back.